and happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please stand. Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. It is the third Sunday in the season of Easter, but you'll also notice that I'm wearing red today, and that's because today happens to be May 1st. And that means in the church year calendar that today we are going to spend some time talking about Saints Philip and St. James the Lesser. These are two of the apostles of Christ that we probably don't know all that much about. There isn't a ton about them in Scripture, but we give thanks today for these men who followed Jesus in his earthly ministry. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And the reason why we chose May 1st, this is a tradition going back at least 1,500 years. There was a church that was given the name of St. Philip and St. James in the city of Rome, and it was dedicated on May 1st, way back in the 5th century. So for all these years, it's been the church's tradition to think about these disciples of Christ on May 1st, especially whenever it falls on a Sunday. So that's what we're going to be doing today. Today we're going to be following Divine Service Setting 3 for our worship, which begins in your hymnal on page 184. So we begin with our invocation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave me of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll continue now with the introit, which is printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who exult in your name all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord. Glory be to God on high, and on earth. We worship thee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, your Son revealed himself to Philip and James and gave them the knowledge of everlasting life. Grant us perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, and steadfastly to walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word.
The Old Testament reading appointed for today is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, starting with the 18th verse. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right. This is the word of the Lord.
Lift high the cross.
epistle lesson comes from the book of Ephesians, beginning with the second chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. So then you are no longer strangers and alien, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple of the Lord. In him you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as the men's choir sings our Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning, we will use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God,
God, God, light, very God, very God, light, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Congregation may be seated. For our sermon hymn today, we're going to sing hymn 518, By All Your Saints in Warfare. And please note that the second verse is actually going to be verse 16. That's the one that is specific for St. Philip and St. James. So 518, verses 1, 16, and then back to verse 3. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 14. This is a pretty well-known and familiar passage, at least definitely the first half of it is. But the reason why this passage was chosen for today, for St. Philip and St. James the Lesser Day, is because this is one of the only times we actually get to hear some words out of the mouth of Philip, and there's one other time as well. Honestly, there's not a lot that we know about either of these two disciples, and, you know, I think that's something we can probably appreciate as Christians who live in rural southern Illinois. It's good to know that the measure of how much God loves and cares for his people is not how famous they are or the magnificence of their good works, but it's all about Christ, crucified and risen for you. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, one of the things that even the most casual baseball fan probably notices if they have an opportunity to take a walk around the outside of the stadium is that there is a place on the corner out by left field in front of the team store where there are a whole bunch of statues on display, which is one of the most amazing things about the Cardinals franchise, is there's just so much great baseball history, so many great players who have played there over the years. And so they have this opportunity to show fans and visitors alike all of this history. They like to show it off in a classy way. It's done very well. So you look around there, you look at all of these amazing names on these statues, right? And you've got Lou Brock, and you've got Bob Gibson, and you've got Ozzie Smith, and of course, you can't miss the really big Stan Musial statue that's right outside of Gate 3. Now, if memory serves me right, and it's been a few months since I've been there because I haven't gone to a game yet this season, but I'm pretty sure when you walk around and you look at those statues, there's only one of those ball players that's depicted in a sliding statue, a sliding position. So he's kind of got his hands like this, and he's got his legs in that classic figure four sliding position, just sliding into home. And you might know that the one I'm talking about is Enos Slaughter. Now, those of you who are diehard Cardinals fans, and maybe some of you who are of a certain age, you might remember why it is that Enos Slaughter is sliding into home in his statue. It actually has a lot to do with the World Series that the Cardinals won back in 1946. So over 75 years ago, the Cardinals played against the Red Sox that year. And there was a certain moment right at the end of the World Series. Enos Slaughter was a big part of it. I obviously don't have time to do big play-by-play from the pulpit here, but I did have an opportunity to watch this particular play on YouTube. You can do the same when you go home later today if you'd like. But basically what happened was it was Game 7 of the World Series, okay? So the last game of the series. The game is tied 3-3. There's two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Enos Slaughter is on first base. And what happened was the manager decided to put on a hit and run, which means that the runner is going to go and the batter is going to swing and try to make contact with the ball. So basically, that's what happened. Enos Slaughter takes off for second as soon as the pitcher throws. The batter hits the ball, and the ball goes out into left center field. Honestly, just like a routine single. Nothing really exciting about it, but the ball goes out there, and it's fielded by the center fielder. Now, Slaughter was already almost at second base by the time the ball was already hit. So he just rounds second base, and he heads for third. No big deal, right? Except when he gets to third, he keeps going. He rounds third, and he starts heading for home, to the surprise of everybody in the park. The fans are surprised. The managers are surprised. But most importantly, the Red Sox center fielder is surprised, and he just takes a moment of hesitation and realizes what's happening and finally decides to throw it into the cutoff man, and the cutoff man takes it and relays it to home, but the throw is late and offline, safe! Enos Slaughter was safe at home, and that became the run that won the Cardinals the World Series in 1946. It is such an important Cardinals moment in franchise history that it actually has a nickname. That is Enos Slaughter's Mad Dash for home. And that's why his statue outside of Busch Stadium has him sliding into home. It's supposed to depict that moment. Now, if I had to guess, I would say most people who walk past that statue probably don't really know that story. I mean, after all, it is 75 years later, right? And so there's a lot of folks who don't know that story. So there'd be a small minority of people who really know what's going on when they see that. And even out of those folks who do know the story, there's probably an even smaller handful of those folks who know the name of the player that really was ultimately responsible for the mad dash happening in the first place. And the player that I'm talking about is a center fielder by the name of DiMaggio. But it's not the center fielder of the Yankees, Jolton Joe DiMaggio, that we all know and love, or at least I know and love. But here's your fun fact for the day. There were actually three DiMaggio brothers, and they all played center field in the major leagues. There was a Vince DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio, and then their youngest brother was Dom Dom, like short for Dominic, Dom DiMaggio. He played center field for the Red Sox that year. In 1946, he was on that team. He was on the field that day. In the top of the eighth, after he hit, he actually pulled his hamstring and had to be taken out of the game. And the player that replaced him in the field in the bottom of the inning was a player who didn't have a very strong arm. Enos Slaughter knew that, so when he saw that the ball went to center field, that's what caused him to decide that he was going to chance it and run for home. And if it hadn't been for Dom DiMaggio, little Dom DiMaggio, he ended up being just as important as any of the players who were actually on the field at the time. But if you're someone like me who was not alive in 1946 and was not born and raised in St. Louis and raised a Cardinals fan, you probably would never know that. You probably don't even know that Joe DiMaggio had a little brother, unless you happen to look it up, do some research, and maybe, just maybe, you'll find a footnote deep in the bowels of Wikipedia somewhere. That's really the only way to know about the person who is ultimately responsible for Enos Slaughter's mad dash. Now, I can get a little bit carried away when I start talking about baseball, so I'm going to stop doing that. But there is a point that relates to Saints Philip and James the Lesser. I mentioned before, this is kind of a unique and not well-known day on the church year calendar. We're thanking God today for the lives of two people who are kind of like the Vince and Dom DiMaggio of the Bible, if you put it that way. St. Philip and St. James the Lesser, which has got to be, I mean, it's probably the second worst nickname out of all of the apostles. I think nothing's going to beat Doubting Thomas, but even Judas didn't have a nickname that bad, right? So St. James the Lesser, little James. But these men, Philip and James, in reality, are two of the most important people that ever walked on the face of this earth. If you think about it, these are men that Jesus handpicked to be his disciples. They followed him everywhere. They listened to all of his teachings. They witnessed all of his miracles. When you read St. John's vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, there's a moment toward the beginning of Revelation where John sees a vision of 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones in heaven. And that has probably been most often interpreted, and I think rightly so, as referring to, first, the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament, Jacob's sons, the 12 tribes. But then also, you have the 12 apostles of Jesus. So in other words, Philip and James the Lesser get to sit on two of those thrones in heaven. That's a pretty elite club to be in, if you ask me, and yet we hardly know anything else about these men. Philip just shows up in a couple spots. There's one moment in the beginning of John's gospel when he's called to be a disciple, and then he runs to tell Nathanael that they have finally found the Messiah. And then, of course, you have this passage here in John chapter 14, where Philip asks Jesus to show him the Father and then gets sort of dressed down for it. But both of those moments are very quick. They go by in the blink of an eye, and we don't really learn much about Philip's personality through just these couple passages. And oh, by the way, if you're thinking in the back of your mind, well, what about Philip and the Ethiopian? Well, that's a different Philip. So that is a Philip who came in later in the book of Acts, and that adds to the confusion with this Philip here who was a disciple of Jesus. Then you got St. James the Lesser. There's a whole bunch of people named James in the New Testament, but the only thing we know about this James, the only thing, is that he was the son of a man named Alphaeus, and we don't even know much about Alphaeus, so that doesn't really help us all too much. So in the overall narrative of Scripture, and the way that the life and ministry of Jesus is depicted in all four Gospels, we would have to say that Saints Philip and James the Lesser are nothing more than footnotes, at best. Right? These guys are also rans. They fade into the background of the story, and they leave us probably with more questions than we would possibly have answers to. But here's the really important question. In fact, this is the million-dollar question, and I have a hunch that you probably already know the answer to it. when it comes to Philip and James, does their relative lack of notoriety have anything to say about how much Jesus cared about them, how much time Jesus spent with them, the reasons why Jesus picked them to be two of his 12 apostles? Does it have anything to do with that? And of course, the answer obviously is a resounding no. In fact, we already see in this passage, in this gospel reading in John 14, we see evidence that Jesus cared deeply for these men. John 14, in case you didn't already know, is part of a really long description that John gives us of all of the things that happened in the upper room between Jesus and his disciples the night before he was crucified. In fact, in John's gospel, his description of this night goes on for 5 entire chapters. It's amazing. It takes up about a quarter of the entire book. So we have a lot of detail, and in John 14, basically what Jesus is doing is he is preparing his disciples for that moment when he is no longer going to be physically present among them in the way that he has been over these last 3 years. He tells them in the beginning of this passage that there's 2 things that he is going to promise to do for them. The first thing is he is going to prepare a place for them, which is a wonderful thing. And the second thing he tells them is, where I'm going, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be there with me. So these disciples are going to have a place prepared where they are going to dwell with Jesus for all eternity. You notice that Jesus doesn't say, well, I'm going to prepare a place for the ones who are my best friends, the ones that I'm really, really close to, like Peter and James, you know, the other James, James the Greater, and John, his inner circle. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for the ones who really show me that they love me by doing a whole bunch of really amazing good works that people are going to talk about even 2,000 years from now. He doesn't say that either. He treats all of his apostles the same. What he offers to one, he offers to all. And what he's offering is eternal life in his Father's house. My friends, that is exactly the same thing as what he offers to you too. You and I, just like Philip and James, are probably not going to end up finding ourselves named in some sort of historical textbook or encyclopedia article about the history of Christianity. And we're probably not going to have statues put up of us either, depicting the most important moments of our lives and our greatest achievements, unless, of course, somebody here is working on a Hoyleton Hall of Fame somewhere that I don't know about. But even if that were to be the case, I think we all recognize small town famous is not the same as being actually famous, right? We are footnotes, according to the world. We are insignificant little blips on the radar, and when we pass away, it's not going to take very many generations for the world to forget about who we were. I'm not saying that to put you into a tailspin of depression this morning or anything like that, but I think one of the biggest takeaways from actually having a day where we focus on these seemingly insignificant apostles, Peter and James the Lesser, it's to recognize that honestly, it doesn't matter how much or how little the world knows about who you are. The only thing that matters, the only thing that has ever mattered, is what your Heavenly Father sees when he looks down upon you. And because you belong to Jesus Christ by faith, you are covered with all of his righteousness, and you are the one who gets the credit for the things that he did. You're the one who gets the praise. In fact, you're the one who gets the heavenly fame that Jesus deserves. You might not ever become an actual celebrity here on earth. You might not ever have your own Wikipedia page, let alone a statue outside of Busch Stadium. But in heaven, trust me when I say, you are way more than just a footnote up there. In fact, the angels themselves rejoiced on the day when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. When you pray, the Almighty God of the universe cares enough about what you have to say that he pays attention to you. And even now, the Holy Spirit is working with you, living within you, doing good works within you as well. The Heavenly Father has sent his Spirit to be among you. That's a pretty big deal. That makes you part of an elite club. And so, just like we see with little Dom DiMaggio, you know, even footnotes can take a crucial part in history and in the overall story. And so, believe me when I say your life, your very soul is crucial to God. And I mean that literally, like the word crucial is related to the word for crucifixion. That's how much God cares about you. And if you'll allow me just one more little baseball metaphor. You think of the wood of the cross like the wood of a baseball bat, where Jesus Christ in his sacrifice puts the ball in play and he's already hamstrung death and sin and the devil, which puts you in a position to make a mad dash for home, for your heavenly home, in our Father's house, where you will never, ever be forgotten. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We turn to the bottom of page 192 and we sing together the words of the offertory. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. In our prayers today, we do have a few updates for you. Listed under care facilities, we have been praying for Paula Vogel over the last few weeks. She has now been able to go back home, but she does remain in physical therapy after the really bad car accident that she was in, which also did take the life of her husband, Fred. So we'll continue to pray for her. We're going to move her down to ongoing health needs. And under hospitalized, we continue to pray for Norma Mashoff. She remains hospitalized in Centralia. She has been improving a bit over this week, but she's still dealing with some confusion. So she'll be there in the hospital for another few days. We also continue to pray for Imogene Silger, who has been hospitalized after a fall in the nursing home. But I'm told that she should be discharged soon. So let's stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of life, we are sustained by the spiritual food you alone provide, and our lives depend on your powerful word. As you have gathered us here around the proclamation of your gospel, make us worthy to receive the bounty prepared for us in your Son's death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have raised your Son from the dead to the praises of all angels and saints. Give strength to our hearts and voices that we with them would meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and speak of the might of your awesome deeds. Stir up all those baptized into your name and call many among us into the service of your church. We thank you for the calls which you issued through the church at both of our seminaries this week. We ask you to especially be with Pastor-elect Brett Jones and the people of Trinity Lutheran in Hoffman as he begins his work there in the coming months. Sustain all missionaries who work for your gospel abroad, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and be with our sister congregation, St. Peter Lutheran in New Memphis, and their pastor, Art Eichhorn. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, enthroned in heaven, you have ordered all the nations of the earth and have set your church among them to shepherd them unto eternal life. Hear the prayers we continually offer for our earthly rulers and grant them faithful and peaceful reign. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, one generation of your saints commends your works to another. As we declare your mighty acts to the generation to come, we also thank and praise you for your good gifts to us here and now. Thank you for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Corey, Leandra, Brody, Riley, Marjorie, Kellen, and Emma. We also thank and praise you for marriage and family. Ask you to bless those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, in particular Earl and Shirley Schnicker. Continue to strengthen their bond with each other and with you, Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, you are glorified in the sufferings of your faithful people. Teach us to trust you through all our trials and graciously bear up those who struggle among us, especially all those who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. We continue to lift up before you those who are hospitalized, especially Norma and Imogene, and also all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Paula, Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Elaine, Rebecca, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Kenny, Don, Wayne, Andrea, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, and all those who are fighting cancer, that they would know the fullness of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you have prepared a feast again for us on this morning when we continue to celebrate your Son's resurrection. Help us to rejoice greatly in this gift of his body and blood and to receive it to our eternal good, that we too would rise at the last day. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with our service of the sacrament, beginning on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servants Saint Philip and Saint James, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please stand. We turn now to page 199 as we sing together the Nunc Dimittis.
Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated, and we'll turn now to hymn number 829, Christ the Eternal Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning. A few announcements for you as we begin this month of May together. What a blessing to be able to begin our month in the name of the Lord and together as His people. We have Mother's Day already next Sunday. And so going along with that, we have silk roses, which are available for purchase, $2 each. You can buy those in our office all week long this week, or else you may also purchase those right after church next Sunday. And all of the proceeds for those silk roses go to support the Washington County Right to Life. So please consider doing that for your mom or the moms in your life. Going along with that as well, this Tuesday is our mother-daughter and guest banquet evening for our Ladies' Aid, and that will take place at 6:30 on Tuesday in the Activity Center. So we hope that all of the moms and daughters or guests will consider coming to that this Tuesday. It'll be a great time. Also, we have Women's Bible Study on Wednesday night at 7. We have a Fine Arts and Book Fair happening in our school this Thursday at 6 o'clock. A couple other things to mention, too. Later this evening, there will be a spring concert at Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School. I know some of our students are going to actually be performing in that. They've been working with Mrs. High, and so they'll be part of that, too. So that's available for you if you don't have anything going on later on today. Also, it is time for us to be thinking about confirmation for next year already. And part of that means sixth graders who will be going into seventh grade and starting confirmation are able to start acolyting, because our eighth graders who are already confirmed are anxious to not have to do it anymore. And so we know who the students in our school are, but I always want to reach out in case there are other students that go to other schools that may be going into seventh grade. Jane and I work really hard on trying to figure out who those folks are, but if you already know somebody and you can help us out with that, please let us know. We'd love to contact them and possibly even get them onto the acolyte list. That'll be wonderful. You can see in your bulletin today, there is a special handout for you. This is in case you were not able to join us for the voters' meeting, which took place this past Monday. But just so you're aware, the congregation right now is being offered a building. And there's information all about that on the flyer in your bulletin. But basically, we as a congregation need to decide if we want this building or not. So there's some information about some of the needs that we see, some of the benefits a building might give to our congregation. But of course, there's a lot of unknowns right now, and there's a committee right now that is working on trying to answer as many of the questions as possible. But the reason why I need to talk to you about it today is because there is going to be a special voters meeting two Sundays from now. So on May 15th, if you would please stick around after church that morning, and we will hear from the committee and all of their findings, we'll hear their recommendation, and then we as a congregation will vote on what we want to do. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to me, you can talk to our chairman, Kurt Grody, you can talk to the trustees, they are all on the committee that's working on this, and just let us know if you have any questions, but please mark that on your calendar for May 15th after church that Sunday. Let's see. Oh, yes, there is going to be another senior social gathering three Sundays from now. So that'll be on May 22nd, and that'll be over in the Activity Center. And there is a sign-up sheet. The committee that's working on that event would like to know if you're planning to come. So please sign up if you already know that you're definitely going to be there. And we'll have that available. And there'll be more information on that day coming soon. Are there any other announcements today that I might have missed? Yes. Oh, there's, okay, youth tonight. Thank you. So YPS and Club 58 are invited to come and join us at 6 o'clock this evening for a youth night. Thank you, Adam. Anything else? Okay, if not, go enjoy this beautiful day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.